Good evening, folks. I hope everybody's having a good night. Hope everybody's having a good day. A lot of things happening in the world. I've been meaning to get on here and do some other Bible teachings that the Lord has impressed on me, but there's been so much going on, so much traveling, so much just all sorts of stuff going on, exciting stuff. And I got a couple things that I'm going to go over tonight. I want to first start with Galatians 1. And then I'd like to go to Exodus 8 and show you guys some things in there about frogs and stuff that's happening and why it's happening, what frogs are. But let me stick on point. The Lord impressed this on to me this morning. Galatians 1. I want to go through it. I want to help you to understand it better. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, we're raising up disciples, and it's a process, right? And so when you get saved and you convert your life back to Christ, we are to cover each other, to help interpret and understand Bible together, to go to Jesus first and foremost, because he is our teacher. No man is our teacher. And I always tell people, don't take my word for it. Go to Scripture, pray about it, and deep dive and put yourself in the Bible, because everything in the Bible is a testimony of Jesus Christ through somebody's life. All the apostles and disciples, you have a testimony of Jesus Christ through your life. So I want to show you how to understand Scripture better, as the Lord has helped me understand Scripture better. All right. So let's dive into Galatians 1, chapter 1, and it's Paul's greeting. Listen closely to what the Word of God is saying. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So Jesus Christ in here is the one who made Paul a disciple, right? Jesus Christ is our teacher. He made Paul a disciple. Says, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and the God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Sorry if I say that wrong. It's G-A-L-A-T-I-A. 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. His will, not our will. Not in the ways of the world, not living one foot in the world, one foot in Christ, but solely living for God. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6, it says, following the good news we brought. I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. There's only one gospel. There's no other gospel. There's one, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We see that happening all over the world right now. You have man's gospel and their interpretation to fit their belief system. And then you have the word of God that's cut and dry. 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So anybody who's preaching a watered down gospel or another gospel, he says, let them be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. There's the second time that he's saying the same thing, and he's letting it known. If you preach another gospel or a watered-down, ear-tickling gospel, he says it twice. Let him be accursed. Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? He's asking a question. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Another question. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So if you're seeking self-approval from men, you are not a servant of Christ. You should not be a servant of Christ, because This is not our body. This is not our life. We are to glorify God through us. This is about glorifying God. This is not about fame. This is not about getting rich. This is not our life. This is about glorifying God through us. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Let me read that again. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation means the revealing. Once again, man is not your teacher. Listen. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our teacher, folks. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So going after the traditions of our fathers, right? That's what we've always done. Gone right after the same traditions instead of letting God be our teacher. Going after religious doctrines. Going after things of the law, right? But God is our teacher. We cannot trust men or women with our salvation. God, Jesus Christ, is our teacher. That's why there's only one way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the one mediator. The one and only mediator. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he's called you. He's predestined you for a time such as this. Verse 16. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Listen again, 16. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred, not with flesh and blood. Conferred means to consult. 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see a Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Let me read that again, 20. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Sicily, or Cilicia, whatever. C-I-L-I-C-I-A, sorry. 22. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, J-U-D-A-E-A, which were in Christ. He says, I was unknown by face. So this is not about being noticed. This is not about making a name for yourself. This is about glorifying God. Verse 23, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. See what Paul used to be? And they said they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past. I was the same way. I was confrontational, always being a hypocrite, pointing fingers, but never looking at myself. And then it says, now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. That's amazing. That's amazing to finally come to a state of brokenness and let God rule and reign in your life and lead you to righteousness and holiness. Verse 24, and they glorified God in me, that you will know a man by his fruit, right? We want to be examples of Jesus Christ in our lives. We want Jesus Christ to lead us to purity and righteousness and holiness, leading us away from our pastful, sinful lives to completely live for God, to be completely sold out for God and let God do what God does, to be almighty, all powerful, to heal you if you're sick, to cast out demons, to let him provide for you. He wants to provide for you. He just wants you to step out in obedience and faith. That's all, folks. It's more important to him to be obedient and to have faith than to sacrifice, if you understand what I'm saying. He says we have to be disciples. And to be a disciple, you have to give up your life for his. And you should want to, because he sent his only begotten son to shed his precious blood on that cross for us. See, we use the law and the commandments as a guide, but we're not under the law. He says love, the law is love. So the two most important commandments is love the Father with all your heart and soul and love your brother and sisters in Christ, right? And we still love our enemies because we pray for them to be set free. We pray that God will remove the bondage and shackles and demonic attacks and anything that's suppressing them, and pray that they come to a form of repentance, because we've all been lost. I tell people, you can love everybody, but you don't have to support their lifestyle. You don't have to condone it. You don't have to be in agreement with it. And we never will compromise on what the Word of God says. Anything somebody does blatantly in sin, we cannot accept that. God is not playing with people anymore. You either love the Father with all your heart and soul or you don't. You either want to seek him out with all your heart and soul or you don't. And you got to deep dive scripture. He's speaking to us. He says, I am the Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word remains. Jesus Christ is the Word. Remember that. He is the Word. All right, let me, I want to go into Exodus chapter 8 and talk about these plague of frogs. I found some very interesting stuff in there. And it also talks about in Revelation 16:15, when the bowl judgments are poured out, that I'll get to, talks about three unclean spirits. And I think we're starting to see a prelude to them. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 100% sure on one of them. But I really think we're starting to see a prelude to that. But let me show you what I found in Exodus 8 that the Lord impressed on me this morning. And it has to do with this Jewish Messiah that popped up that we think in Israel on the day after Passover. I mean, it's not a coincidence. They're looking for a Messiah. But I want you to understand, there's a difference between that Jewish Messiah and then the Antichrist. Okay, the Antichrist cannot come on the scene until after the church leaves. So after the rapture, when the remnant happens, there's a war that's going to happen. It says he will snatch us away, sudden destruction. It talks about 180 days in the book of Esther. If you go read chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, it talks about 180 days in the kingdom being shown our inheritance. It talks about a golden cup that he gives all of us, right? And then we sit down for that 1 week feast, which is a 7 year tribulation period. So basically that states, if you have 180 days, that's 6 months. So are we going to have a war for 6 months after the church leave? And then the Antichrist shows up on the scene. He signs a peace agreement with many, right? The Abraham Accords is a prelude to that, right? Well, if you read Psalms 90 and you go from it talks about 80 year, we're the last generation. If you go from 1948, when Jerusalem became a nation, you go to 2028. Okay, that's an 80 year generation. Okay, that's the end. But if you back it up 7 years for the Great Tribulation, you come to 2021. Okay, if we have 6 months in heaven, 180 days in the kingdom, well, and he says, you will know summer is near. If we went to June to December, that's 6 months. You can't go into January because you pass into 2022. Then Psalms 90 doesn't make any sense. He says the parable of the fig tree, you will know summer is near. So folks, we're in that season, that spring season. Let me show you what, let me go and read Exodus 8. I'm going to try to skim through it a little bit. Maybe I can come back later and break it down even more. Anyways, here we go. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Okay? And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Now, listen to that verse very closely. Okay, frogs in the Bible is a depiction of unclean spirits. Anybody rebelling against God, it might even be somebody who doesn't know God. Okay, it says unclean spirits. Well, if you don't know God, you don't have the Holy Spirit of God in you, so you have an unclean spirit. So in verse 2, it says, if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, right? So what's happening at our borders? Okay, a border is an outer edge of something. And frogs are unclean spirits. Don't we have people flooding up from the borders? Don't we have terrorists coming in from the borders? Don't we have cartel members coming in from the borders? Absolutely we do. Verse 3, and the river, a river is a place of gathering, of assembling, and cheerfulness, and prosperity. Rivers shall contribute to the spiritual quality of gladness, to the welfare of its inhabitants. Psalms 46, 44. So it says in 3, and the river shall bring frogs abundantly. These frogs can also be false prophets and false teachers, many rising up claiming that they are Christ. Okay, those can be frogs too. Those are frogs, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon the people, and into thine ovens. What is an oven? Delights of Cupidites, that is, delights from loaves of hell, which are the loaves of self and world, okay? And into thy kneading troughs, okay? Kneading troughs is a vessel in which the dough, after being mixed, is leavened, was left to swell or ferment. You have unleavened bread, which is sin, and leavened. So let me read that again. Sounds like they're going to be completely swarming us. That's what's happening, right? Verse 3, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thy house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. So like I said, you got people streaming up from the borders. They're placing them all over the place. We're being flooded with unclean spirits, false prophets, false teachers. Many are rising up. They're all over the place. They're on our TVs. They're in our bedrooms. They're everywhere. That's what the Lord's saying, right? It says, 4, and the frog shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, stretch forth thy hand and thy rod, right? Stretch forth thy rod. Hold on a second. Stretch forth thy rod. I got sidetracked. Sorry, I was trying to find some. Stretch forth thy rod over the streams, judgment over the rivers and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. Egypt is a depiction of the world, as we know. Egypt is spiritually the world, okay? And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. This is judgment, folks, judgment. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. So you have Satan's devices, his weapons and tools, and he's bringing them up, right? The Lord is bringing judgment on the earth. You got to discern the spirits. We got to discern the spirits correctly. And then it says, verse 8, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. I will let the people go, and they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Verse 9. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, for thy servants, and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? Question mark. Verse 10. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frog shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. It stunk. The land stunk, right? And the last verse, 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So frogs are unclean spirits. They are false prophets and false teachers. They are all around us. They are inside people, literally letting them inside their house. By what you watch, you listening to, just all sorts of things that these unclean spirits can attach to. And then, like I said, you have false prophets and false teachers. They're unclean spirits. Do not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, if you go to the book of Revelation, okay? Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 16. I'm pretty sure it's chapter 16. It is. And I also found something very... chapter 16, verse 13 through 14. Okay? And it talks about three unclean spirits. But this is during the bowl judgments. Okay? So this is during the Great Tribulation. Okay? And from what... I still got a deep dive on this, but it talks about, let me read it. It says, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So it talks about three unclean spirits. So far, what I've been getting from the unclean spirits, three of them that are possibly, one of them I know for a fact, okay? And the main one is the Antichrist. We all know that's Barack Obama. If you go read Judges 5, it clearly talks about Deborah and Barack. Barack is a descendant of Akhenaten, the Egyptian. Go look it up. He looks just like him, okay? You have Kamala Harris. Her name means destroyer. Okay, and it talks about Deborah and Barack. It talks, rise, arise, Deborah, arise. And then it talks about Barack, a military general. He's also a Muslim. Okay, they look at him and say he's a black man. He is a Muslim and an Egyptian descent. You have Kamala Harris, who's literally running the country, not Biden. And she is married to a Jewish Shabbat. I did a teaching about this on the Jewish Shabbat and the Muslim Brotherhood. They call it Chrislam. It's not Christianity. It's Chrislam. It's Jewish and Muslim Brotherhood coming together for world domination. Because the Jews thought they were given a raw deal, right? They wanted their kingdom when Jesus Christ came. They wanted their kingdom then. But Christ died. They literally hung him on the cross, his own people. Not all Jews. There are Jews that are saved that know Jesus Christ. But these ones, they believe in a man Messiah, right? A false Messiah. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They have to be woke up. They follow these Jewish rabbis, right? So they were given a raw deal. His own people hung him on the cross, right? So you have these Jewish Shabbats and this Muslim Brotherhood coming together, two groups that hate us, right? They hate us. We're extremists. We're Satanists. That's what they call us. All sorts of things. Okay? And then you have the Noahide laws. I told people that the Great Tribulation is going back to a physical thing. It's no longer spiritual after the church has been gone, right? So you go and look at the Noahide laws that have been implemented since Ronald Reagan. That's why those are the eight kings. All U.S. presidents who signed Noahide laws under the Education Act, right? And the rabbis had a huge thing to do with that, okay? Which means once we're taken out of here and the dispensation of grace is over, the spiritual is over, that means you go back under the law, the Noahide laws, they become your judge and juror and executioner if you break one of those laws, okay? And Satan's wanting to set himself up in the temple of God, the abomination which makes desolate our temple. This is his temple. And then he's going to set himself up in people, making them slaves. And he's going to set himself up in the temple at the 3.5 year mark, breaking the peace deal that they make at the start of the seven. So it's clearly talking what I've come up with. False Messiah, this Jewish Messiah that was revealed after Passover. Son of a man named David, from my understanding, I don't, David, I heard that loud and clear. He showed up after the day after Passover. This is not a coincidence. He knows the Torah. He's 33 years old, from my understanding. He's Muslim and Jewish. Okay? Muslim and Jewish. They're kissing his hand. They're following him around like he's a movie star. Everybody, I think, saw the video. If you haven't, go find it on YouTube. So you have a false Messiah, then you have a false religion. Pope Francis, right? He's completely opposite of what the Word of God is, right? And then you have the Antichrist, which is Barack Obama. This is what I feel like the Lord's showing me. I know for a fact that Obama is the Antichrist because it's spoken of in the Bible, okay? If you look at the Affordable Care Act, AC, and like I said, there's not a coincidence that his name's in there. It also talks about Trump's names in there, Pence's names in there, AI, artificial intelligence. All this stuff is in the Bible, all of it. So once again, it talks about three unclean spirits during the Great Tribulation, right? We're seeing a prelude. So you have a false Jewish Messiah. You have an Antichrist, or you have the false religion, Pope Francis. Could he be the one spreading the false religion? I mean, it seems to be, right? And then the Antichrist, who I know for sure is Barack Obama. Now, I also want to just add something in here that I found because I think it's in Matthew, but I just found this in verse 15, okay? It says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Okay? I thought that was a very interesting passage because we all keep thinking he's coming as a thief now, right? And he is coming in the rapture as a thief for people who are not watching. But I just thought that that was ironic because we know it's spoken of in Matthew, the book of Matthew. But it was right here in verse 15 during the bowl judgments. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Okay, so the church is gone at this point. So right now, everybody's putting out rapture videos. We're all waiting for his coming. The people that are in them, the five wise and the unwise virgins, keeping your lamps full, staying in Christ, you're not going to be caught off guard. This verse is being talked about during the Great Tribulation. "Behold, I come as a thief." It's right here in Revelation 16. The angels pour out their bowls. I thought it was referring to now, and it there is a prelude. I mean, he's gonna catch a lot of people off guard who are not looking for him. They're not ready for him. But I thought it was pretty cool because I didn't really notice it till now. But it's actually during the Bowl Judgments he's talking about that. Behold, I come as a thief. Verse 16, Revelation 16, the angels pour out their bowls. This is during the Great Tribulation, Jacob's trouble. We keep thinking it's talking about now. We're all watching and waiting. We're ready. We're like, come, Lord, come, Lord. This verse is during the Great Tribulation. Behold, I come as a thief. Revelation 16, 15. Go check it out. Right after it talks about 13 and 14, the unclean spirits. So I thought that was pretty cool. Because we all are saying right now, nobody knows the hour or the time. And we don't know the hour or the day, obviously. But he says you will know the season. He says he calls people hypocrites. You know the weather, but you don't know the times and the season of his coming. Because they don't. They don't deep dive. So God bless you guys, man. I hope you heard something that kind of wakes you up a little bit. Like I said, I know a lot of people don't have long attention spans, so I try to make it a little bit better for you. I hope it does. Like I said, I just stand on the word of God. I'm open to hearing stuff from you too. We can all learn from each other. The only thing that's important to me though is that we're all in the boat together, okay? This is about knowing that you're going to heaven, that your salvation is secure, and that's the most important thing. Can some of us get in error about some of these Bible prophecies? Yes. Does people have different beliefs about them? Yes. But the first and foremost important thing to know is that you know what the true gospel of Jesus Christ is, and to know that we're all in the boat together and not to push anybody out. So that's our goal. That's the most important thing. We're all watching for our Lord's return. But we got to raise up disciples. We got to save souls. If there's something you're holding on into this world that you're afraid to let go, just let go. Let God do what God wants to do in your life and let Him move powerfully. He wants to move mightily in you. He knows you better than you know yourself, but you have to let go. And we always, always, always humble ourselves. Every day I humble myself and I remind myself of what I used to be. How I thought I was good, but I really wasn't. I was all things bad, and I needed a savior. I really needed to be saved. Before that, I've always believed in Christ. I got baptized 3 times, but I never had a relationship. And I finally had a relationship in March 2020. And when you finally have a relationship, you will give up whatever for the Lord, and you'll run from the sin. You won't want to be in it anymore. Don't sell yourself short. He says, strive to be perfect, be like Christ. He wants you to keep perfecting your faith and obedience. Your flesh now is going to try to pull against you, but you don't have to give in to it. You don't have to give in to it. Let everything go. It's amazing the transformation that he does from the inside. He cares about your heart. He knows what's in all going on inside. That's why you have to always confess what's going on in your life, because he knows. There's nothing that's hidden from him. He hears everything you say. He sees everything that you're doing. He knows you. He made you. This is his body. This is his. We are his. Please, please continue to sell out for the Lord and be about the business. We are so close to stepping into eternity, going back home. And you can't bring anything with you. He's going to destroy it all. And he gave it to us. We should want to give it back to him. The harvest is full. We're in the season. We're in the final season. This is the truth. This is the truth. He says you will know summer is near. And I talked about the 180 days in Psalms 90. Go deep dive this stuff. Seek out the Lord. I love you guys, man. I really want to thank you guys for coming to my channel. Keep sharing it. You got to tell them to download Anchor. Download Anchor, and it's TruthFreesUs87. If you want to reach out and email me, it's TruthFreesUs87@yahoo.com. I also want to let you know our YouTube channel got demonetized. So we're going to be going to Rumble. I already have an account there, an IF Connect. Probably more of Rumble. It's just a better platform. We're starting to run out of stuff here. And Facebook, Justin Jordan Campbell, and then it's Truth Frees Us 87, our ministry card in the profile picture. come friend request us, share this stuff. I told you about World War III is amping up. This is not a game. This is not some exercise. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I put out a lot of news stuff on these Rumbles, and I was doing it on YouTube, but on Facebook as well. So I do more Bible scripture here, Bible prophecy, dreams here, and then I talk more about that stuff on the other channels, because the most important thing is Bible scripture and the good news. And to, yes, there's all this stuff going on in the world, but God's got this, y'all. He's coming to free us. We're not of this world, and he says, watch what I'm about to do. Daniel 8, it talks about Michael standing up and a great war happening, right? And then the serpent being cast down, standing before the woman who was ready to give birth with great wrath, right? Well, the child that she gives birth to is the remnant. The remnant, the bride of Christ, goes up, and then the woman is a depiction of Israel, Jacob's trouble, the 7-year great tribulation. Okay? So be encouraged. I think this war is going to break out, and literally when they get ready to hit us, he's going to snatch us out. That's my opinion based off what I've read in scripture. They could fire a missile off in the air. He knows. This is nothing to God. He just wants to show people he's God. Remember, I sit on the throne, he says. The Lord says, So he sits on the throne. Remember that, and he's in control. And he has you. If you'll just stand and rise up, mighty warriors of God. He's already finished it. It is written. Stand up. Do not fear man. Fear God. Know who you are in Christ, right? God bless you guys. I love you guys, man. Thank you so much. Hit the favorite button so the teachings come up, and share the good news, because we're going home soon. God bless you.